Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
I have my list. By the way, I lied to you guys. I told you that the gray area was going to be delayed 1 hour public and parochial, and then Gray walks in the door.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be longer, but it's good to have
everybody. No. Things were not what I thought they were, and for the better.
Everybody's here safe and sound? Well, not everybody yet, but you, me, and Rachel anyway for now. So
you got it. We are the core team is intact at the moment.
I kick off the show today with the my list of the top three misused words. And this all leads to number one, but I figured I couldn't just throw in number one. I had to get two and three in there just to build up. So the three were, hang on just a second here. I got to get my my sound effect budget going here. I think I got a timpani roll. Here we go. let me hit that again, because you have to have the first ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. There we go.
This production value is magnificent.
All right. Number three, overused word, nice. Nice is an overused word. It's just too generic. It leaves a lot to be desired. What's that person like? Oh, he's nice.
Agreed.
What does that mean? So nice.
Agreed. Nice. But it's a needed word. That word is like glue.
It's a nice word.
It holds the language together.
I don't have a problem with it.
It's nice.
But it it leaves a
more
lot.
More timpani.
Leaves a lot to be. Number two, words. I should rephrase it. Words that leave a lot of discussion or flexibility.
Okay.
Number two, suite. 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 Anytime you rent a hotel room, they always want to tell you that it's a suite. It's a room is what it is with a refrigerator.
Right, exactly. If it's got anything that wouldn't be in your normal bedroom at home, sweet. Yeah.
Yes, and the number one word that we need to stop using that has been abused in our society is continental breakfast. All right?
Joel, what did you do this
weekend? Should be a description.
What?
Every hotel should have to not just say we have a continental breakfast. There should be an actual listing of foods that come with that continental breakfast. Because I've had some continental breakfast that they rival some pretty good buffets at restaurants that have been pretty good.
I'm just going to throw a random dart at the board here just for no particular reason. Okay, that hit hotel experience C-. Did you have a bad hotel experience this weekend?
The hotel room was fine, and I will take a clean hotel room and a quiet night's sleep versus a crappy continental breakfast any day. But the continental breakfast they did have the waffle machine, you know, the one where you pour it in and you flip it over and then beep beep, it'll beep after 3 minutes. They had that, and a glass of apple juice and a piece of toast, basically. So, I mean, and the Raisin Bran had been there since the tourist season ended in Wisconsin Dells. But I was all right with it because the room was nice. It was clean. There was no mold in the shower, which is hard to find. So I'll put up with a bad continental breakfast. But I think a hotel should have to list what actual foods are in their continental breakfast.
Have you experienced the pancake machine?
No.
Oh, those are so cool. I will admit that I turn into a 12-year-old kid when I see the pancake machine, because it's a simple thing. You hit a button, which is basically press button to receive pancake. But
really,
it's kind of the size of a toaster oven made of a thicker industrial brushed steel. But you get a little window into the operation, and there's two conveyor belts. Top and bottom, basically.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, so like the bottom conveyor belt is, I don't know, 18, 20 inches long, and it leads to a slot at the end of the machine. And the top conveyor belt is only about half that length because there's an extruder that drops batter on the bottom belt. But here's the thing. The conveyor belts are heated, Joel. Oh, they're heated, so nice. They actually cook the cake as they convey it to your face. Like, once it gets halfway across, the top belt grabs it too and cooks it evenly from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's on the far... Well, it's not the one on the right. None of these look quite right.
I've never experienced a pancake machine. Now I'm going to... That's going to be a prerequisite of my next hotel stay.
Throw the word automatic in there after hotel. Hotel All right. automatic.
All
or
right.
just Or just toss it in there, yeah. Google is not picky about word order. Pop cake? I don't know. Well, I know you hit the button, you look in there like you're not supposed to do with your microwave, you stare at it the whole way through, and it's like a 60-second experience for an almost perfectly cooked pancake. They're a little bit underdone, but they are done all the way through. Just, I don't know, I think I'd take them for another 5 or 6 seconds.
So here's how old I am, all right? And anybody who's in their 50s or 60s knows, when I think of continental breakfast, what it used to be was that the hotel staff early in the morning would come by your room, outside of your room, and if you had three people in your room, they would leave you a cellophane-wrapped muffin or croissant and a little box of juice. That was a continental breakfast. They would leave it outside of your door in the morning. And I remember that happening in a hotel somewhere. And to this day, when I think of continental breakfast, that's what I think of right there.
imagine a dog getting loose, even just for a little while, in a hallway just full of croissants. I mean, bull in a china shop, but done better. Like just,
and it serves two purposes. You get a little breakfast in the morning, and you confirm that, okay, I'm pretty sure there's not any mice in this hotel because it probably would have been eaten at some point.
But there will be soon. That's why they're wrapped in plastic. Oh, yeah. Man. Crummy hotel means different things depending on the decade.
Yeah, interesting day of football yesterday. National Football League. We had some teams like the Bills who went on the road and just got blown out by the Dolphins.
Yeah,
what is going on? What is going on in the National Football League? Every week is an island. I don't care what your record is or what's going on, you're playing anybody, anywhere, anytime, any score, no surprise. Nothing's a surprise anymore.
Yeah, the Vikings might have a shot in any other division. The Lions are for real. The Packers are going to have a problem tonight. But hey, any given Monday, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. And I also came to a determination after listening to the color commentary and the play-by-play of NFL yesterday. There's got to be a better way. There's just got to be a better way than two guys talking about a football game and just 99% of you, it's just telling you the obvious and just saying football cliches. And it's horrible.
Are you trying to put us out of business right now? You're describing us right now.
No, I'm TV. I'm talking TV. Yeah, exactly. I know. But TV it's horrible. Radio, it's necessary. You're describing what's going on. TV, right in front of you. I want to see more Manning cast. I really do. I want to see more Manning cast where we don't have to put up with Greg Olsen saying, well, it's 3rd and 7. This would be a big pickup for the, you know, if they get this, this would be big.
Right.
Just like, what? Just shutty. Just don't say that. Just say it's 3rd and 7. And if they get 8 yards, it'll be a first down.
There's particular announcer who comes to mind whose name I can't think of. I think he usually does midday Sunday games. That he's kind of a noon announcer. He's not super favored, but he is really good. He kind of focuses on the facts like that. And I think he doesn't end up favored because it becomes less accessible maybe to the casual viewer. So I don't know. I feel like they're telling me how to feel when they say stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm a bit nitpicky with that.
That's why a lot of people like Tony Romo, and because he brings out more of the emotion of the game, and he says some of the obvious stuff too. But he is an emotional guy. He'll be like, you know, there'll be a call, and you'll just hear him on the mic just go, oh,
yeah,
you know, and that's what you do on your couch. You're just like, you know, here's a long pass down the right side to Romeo Doubs, and oh, that's how you feel.
Yes, he's thinking about those passes that he's thrown to Dez Bryant, got one hand on it. Yeah. Yes, Dez did catch it, by the way. I can say that now this far into the future, but no, I like Romo too for that reason. I miss when they really let him loose when he was brand new. I think they pretty clearly told him to stop predicting the play, because he used to say, you see this tight end, how he set up there, and watch this motion, that's window dressing to figure out the defense, and it's going to be a run to the left, it's not even going to be a pass. And like every time for those first two seasons, Romo was so cool. I loved him for that. And now he's, like I said, I think they told him to water it down, and he's done a good job of doing that. And it made him less popular with the complainers online, but he'll stick around for that reason. I think you've got to make it more accessible to the people who have absolutely no idea, and still palatable to the people who could draw up the defensive scheme for them. It's a tough tightrope to walk.
Yeah, it's just I enjoy, you know, when the NFC Norris Division games are on, I have to have the sound on. But like last night with the Steelers and the late game yesterday, usually I just turn the sound off and I'm doing something else and I'll just watch, because I just the constant blubbering of cliches and obvious things, and I'm just like, stop, just please quit telling us that if they convert this fourth down that they'll be in a better position than if they don't convert the fourth down. Please stop.
See, I keep thinking as we're saying this that, just, you know, it does do some favors perhaps for the visually impaired, but that level of stuff helps nobody. You're very right. There's an overdoing it.
I think if you're visually impaired, you should listen to Wayne Larrabee. You should listen to the radio, because they do a great job of laying out everything that's going on.
That's very true. And you still get Rock is still right there doing a little bit of what Joel is complaining about, just a little bit. But it's because he's the Homer biased one.
Yeah,
and he's allowed to just be that.
And I came to the realization last night as I was listening to my Minnesota Timberwolves play, and I was looking for a feed online on my phone to listen to the game, and I came across the TV feed of it, but no video. It was just the guys talking. And if you listen to like an NBA game or an NFL game, and you try to listen to what's going on with the TV announcers, it usually doesn't go well, because for the most part, they don't describe everything that's going on. They don't say he throws it out in the left flat and he cuts around. You see all that stuff. But then on the other hand, I thought to myself as I watched the TV, I thought, well, then they take it. Maybe it's because they don't have anything to say. Maybe the TV announcers are watching the game and are just like, okay, I'm not going to describe everything because you can see it. So I got to say something. And instead of saying, ah, I'm just going to say, that was a nice catch.
Now you're just making me imagine them just singing opera music. Just, I mean, like, what can we accompany this football game with? Since the commentation doesn't matter whatsoever. Just, yeah, why don't we just sing? Let's sing. I'm picturing Troy Aikman kind of tipsily singing karaoke music.
And I want to make it clear, as a member of the media technically, and I've been in radio for 40 years, I still want these gentlemen to have jobs.
Yeah.
I still want them to do, but I think we just need to direct it up and get a different feel for it, and let the announcers feel the fandom and just do it a different way.
How spoiled are we, though, between even just the two states that you and I follow football from, Wayne Larrabee and Paul Allen?
Yeah.
That's just not even fair, man. Yeah, I don't doubt that Chicago and Detroit have some really good announcers. I just don't know them as being right in my own backyard. Paul was annoyingly present in my life for a while.
Yeah, so tonight, by the way, if you have YouTube TV, you're not going to be able to watch the Packer game, because they still have not resolved their issue with ESPN and ABC. So just in case, if you have Spectrum, Dish, Direct, whatever, you're good. But if you've got YouTube TV, The game will not be on your TV tonight. It'll be on the radio on 98.3. Can't do it on the app. Can't do it on the website because of legal reasons. So I just want to warn all you guys tonight. Big game, obviously. There we go, Joel, saying the obvious. But you win the game, you're the 3 seed going into the whatever week 10. If you lose the game, you're like the 8 seed. You're out.
I don't know. I haven't seen an updated look, but last week at about this time, there was something like a game separating the top 8 seeds of the NFC. And it's probably not far apart from that. There was a lot of winning going on by NFC teams again this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, 7-2 for number one right now seed for Seattle. And the 7 seed is the Bears at 6-3. So that would be one game between the first and the 7th seed.
The Buccaneers took a loss to the Patriots, didn't they?
Yeah. There were some things that benefited Viking fans yesterday. Carolina losing benefited the Viking fans yesterday. So Vikings are 4-5, but they're with divisional games coming up. There's a possibility that 10 wins could still sneak in the playoffs this year, maybe, possibly.
Well, yeah, at least on this side of things. But, man, you know, it's not going to get you through the playoffs. You've got... I'm so curious what the Colts are going to do in the postseason because they're clearly going to get there.
And Sam Darnold. I'm curious of what he's going to do in the postseason. Because like my son, I hung out with my son over the weekend. He said, but you just get a feeling that game one, is Darnold going to be deer in the headlights game one? But if his offensive line gives him all day to throw like they have so far this year, I think he's going to be just fine.
Absolutely silly. Absolutely silly, that offense operating in Seattle right now.
He is sitting back there and just looking left and looking right. And he's ordering Uber Eats on his phone, and then he, oh, you're open. Okay, I'll throw you the ball.
And they're loading up, too. Like, they didn't need to grab Shaheed out of New Orleans, but they did. And the Saints took a victory. I was pretty surprised by that. There's no more one-win teams in the NFC. We're all 2 wins or more. Actually, that's almost true of the AFC if it weren't for the Titans.
Well, any Viking fan will say, if you leave the Vikings, there's a pretty good chance you're going to go win a Super Bowl somewhere. So Sam Darnold might be the one this year that left the Vikings, and then if he goes and wins a Super Bowl,
that
would be cool for him. But Viking fans would be banging their head on the brick wall saying, are you kidding me? Not that the Vikings would have won a Super Bowl with him, because that Seattle team in general, their line especially, is a lot better than the Vikings is right now. So
yeah, Kevin O'Connell's going to get a lot of credit if Sam Darnold wins a Super Bowl, but he not as much as he deserves. That was a cool story. I mean, even if they just crack the postseason and do, maybe do better next year. You know, Sam's thriving.
Yeah, exactly. So we got Eagles Packers tonight. Is that in Philly or is that in Green Bay tonight?
Actually, I don't know, and okay. I should know. And I think it's Lambeau.
I think it is. Why don't we know this? My brain is dead from the weekend. So the game is right now. They're screaming.
Okay,
and everybody who has tickets is saying we're on our way there.
Yeah, and
Green
I knew
Bay.
This. I'm thinking of every post I just saw this weekend from people who are driving to Green Bay. I knew this. I'm sorry. It's like when people ask you what you had for breakfast. It just poof gone.
Yeah. So Lambeau Field tonight, 7:15. We got a 5 o'clock pregame. We got more of the gray area coming up in just a moment. Something I want to touch on in just a little bit is we're going to go back to our youth. Get ready. We're going to go back in the time machine to our youth. Well, the time machine's a lot farther travel for me than you. But hold on. Segment two of Gray Area coming up here on 98Q Country after the news.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Movement toward reopening the federal government.
The motion upon reconsideration is agreed to.
The Senate reaching a deal to reopen the government through the end of January. 8 Democrats breaking with the party to advance the measure.
ABC senior political correspondent Rachel Scott. The deal does not include the government subsidies that Democrats said were at the heart of their fight over health premiums. Senator Angus King says the other party just wasn't willing to budge.
Would it change in a week or another week or after Thanksgiving or Christmas? And there's no evidence that it would.
There were thousands of flights canceled over the weekend under directive from the FAA because of the shutdown. An early blast of winter, snow along the Great Lakes, and frigid temperatures in several southern states. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy is being released from prison. He'll now be placed under judicial supervision less than 3 weeks after he began serving a sentence for corruption. This is ABC News.
State and local news with News Director Austin Brume on 98Q Country.
Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer, now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values, visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com. The Rice Lake Police Department has an update to their press release from November 4th. On November 7th at about 1 p.m., the Rice Lake Police Department received notification that Tony A. Peterson was located deceased in the city of Ashland. Ms. Peterson's death is being investigated by the Ashland Police Department. However, no foul play is suspected at this time. The Rice Lake Police Department extends its deepest condolences to Ms. Peterson's family. Tuesday, November 18th, from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., there's a blend drive over at AmVet's Auxiliary, Post 50, at the Phillips Municipal Building in Phillips. To schedule your donation, you're invited to call Dolores at 715-339-6177. They do ask that you please schedule in advance. Remember to have some iron-rich food, hydrate, sleep well, wear some comfy clothes, bring your photo ID, and 16-year-olds must have a signed permission form. Once again, this is taking place Tuesday, November 18th, from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. over at the Phillips Municipal Building. Firearm hunting season opens in Wisconsin this month, and the DNR has some warnings for hunters. Isabella Nieto has more.
The State Department of Natural Resources is warning hunters that tree stand-related incidents are among the leading causes of hunting injuries each year. DNR and Aspirus Health are teaming up to remind hunters to practice safety as they head out to harvest deer. Falls from heights over 10 feet, which is common with most tree stands, can result in more serious trauma. Hunters should use tree straps and wear safety harnesses, check their gear for any wear and tear, and use haul lines to lift equipment safely. Wisconsin's 2025 gun deer season opens on Saturday, November 22nd, and runs through Sunday, November 30th. I'm Isabella Nieto for Civic Media News.
I'm Austin Brume, and this has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Marthaler Chevrolet of Minocqua is now Minocqua Chevrolet, 100% locally owned and proud to serve the North Woods. With reliable service and hometown values, Minocqua Chevrolet stands out. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated. It's a great place to do business. Visit Minocqua Chevrolet at Highway 51 South or online at MinocquaCars.com.
The Packers face Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where the Packers play the Eagles on Monday Night Football. It's been 5 years since Green Bay has beat the Eagles. Packers safety Xavier McKinney on tonight's game.
Now, our roster is really good. I think our team is really good, but their team is also really good as well. It's a big game for both teams, just knowing that we could potentially see each other again later on down the line. So I think this game kind of sets that up, and we got to be real intentional about, you know, what we go out there with and the play style that we have, and just in case we see them again.
Former Packer Jair Alexander was just traded to Philadelphia. Tonight will be his return to Lambeau Field.
I mean, it's gonna be nostalgia, you know. It's gonna be fun seeing the guys that I grew up with, and, you know, being in the town that, you know, pretty much raised me in the NFL. You know, that's always fun, you know, but I'm excited to be back in Lambeau on this side of it.
NBA, the Bucks in Dallas to play the Mavericks. Milwaukee losing at home yesterday to the Rockets, 122-115. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Over 30 years, Lynn Stunkel has had his mind in the gutter. Literally. As the owner of Complete Rain Gutters, he knows gutters inside and out. Call 715-499-4216 or visit CompleteRainGutter.com for your free quote today.
Are you trying to escape violence and need safe and stable housing? Are you homeless because of violence and need help figuring out your next steps? Embrace Advocates may be able to help. By following the No Wrong Door approach, Embrace ensures survivors will be informed of the housing programs they qualify for and provided with a proper follow-up. If you or someone you know is interested in learning more about Embrace's safe housing and shelter services, call 800-924-0558 or visit embracewi.org. On-call advocates are available 24/7.
It is going to be mostly sunny to partly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 30s this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid to upper teens. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 20.
So there was another game Sunday morning in London this past. I don't know if you saw that, but there was a London game.
Colts somebody.
Yeah. So there is a video my brother pointed out to me that is just absolutely amazing on how that Tottenham field that they play on over there in London, it's a soccer field, and how they transition it from soccer to football.
Do they have a, is it like the whole surface swap?
Well, yes, it is. There's about a 3-minute YouTube video that you can just put in Tottenham, T-O-T-T-E-N-H-A-M, Tottenham field transition. And basically the concept is that they have the grass soccer field, which is in three sections on the field, three different long sections from like end line to end line.
Yep.
And when they want to put in a football field, which is artificial turf, they have it set where the field, one section of the field, actually they hit a remote control and it slides off the field under the stadium one way, and one goes another way, and one goes another way. So the field actually, the grass field actually, remote control-wise, slides under the stadium into about a 10-foot-high cavernous basement with halogen lights to allow the grass still to be healthy and grow. And they have little robot machines that'll cut the grass under there. And then under that is the turf field that they make for the NFL. The transition takes less than an hour to go from a grass soccer field to a turf football field at Tottenham Stadium in London. It's simplistically amazing is what it is.
Your just, tone tells me you didn't grow up in a place with a retractable soccer field, Mr. Karnick.
Mr. Karnick.
Call it middle class surprise.
But you watch it happen and you're just like, this is pretty easy. But
it's incredible to watch that time-lapse footage, too. Just, yeah.
That's... But amazing at the same time and how fast it happens.
Yeah.
And you, because it's a major venue that they have those NFL games in, and you just can't have grass out there because you have to have grass for soccer. You just can't have a turf field. The ball bounces too high and all that stuff. So you got to have grass. So you got concerts going on. You got soccer. There's no way the turf can handle it all. So you got to get the grass out of the way for everything else. It's amazing.
You know what you're reminding me of? Was the first time I watched somebody retract the bleachers in the old Park Falls High School gym. I saw that happen. I was like, what? Yeah. You're telling me they didn't just disassemble them and take them out of here? Those are the walls?
How about this? I'll one-up you on that. I remember the first time I got to watch it, and I remember the first time I got to do it.
Oh, was that like a key turn system, or was it a button press? I always imagined a key turn that you had to hold in place.
It was kind of there was a thing you needed. You put it in there, you plug one into the wall and one into the bleachers, then you hit the button. And it was, I remember the first time I looked at the janitor and just like, can I do that? It was pretty cool. You got to be careful, though, because I can... mess it up pretty fast. So check it out, Tottenham Field, T-O-T-T. It's like a 3-minute video. It's pretty cool. So I wanted to talk a little bit today because my wife and I had this discussion last week, and I asked her, I said, what's something from your childhood that you learned that just stands out in your mind as being silly? Just, I'm not talking about everybody says, how am I going to use geometry? I'm never going to use trigonometry in real life. And, you know, all that stuff. That's the obvious stuff. But I'm talking about things, for example, like I had a sixth grade teacher who taught us prepositions.
Okay.
To the tune of Yankee Doodle Dandy. All right. To this day, I shouldn't say this because many times in my life, I've ran through the song in my head because I needed to know whether that word was a preposition. It might have been later in high school or whatever, probably not in real life. But to this day, I can sing you about, above, across, after, against, among, around, at, before, behind, beside, between, beyond, by, down, during, except, or, from, in, into, like, near, above, on, outside, over, around, since, through, to, toward, under, up, with. That's the Yankee Doodle song to prepositions.
Yeah.
And he taught me that in sixth grade.
Oh man, see we never learned that one. The way we learned prepositions was just how to identify them more than a list of of what they were, which I think speaks to the style. Like, there was kind of a sweet spot. Teach you everything by rote. Here's a list of these words. Mm-hmm. Teach us how to identify them, and then complain about us getting participation trophies like it was our idea. And then the kids after us, you just teach, you invent a whole new system of math that just makes no sense at all.
Yeah. And my wife, because later my wife rattled off a song, and I wish I would have had her record it, and I would have played it, because she rattled off a song, and she's like, you've never heard of that? And I said, ever in my life. What was that? It was like a 30-second song she rattled off about something, about the history of something. I don't know what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, my first thought is Schoolhouse Rock. We got a little bit of Conjunction Junction, and that kind of stuff was pretty catchy. But I know some things were actually just... Like, there were very few things that were just kind of pounded in. One of them was the quadratic formula. X equals minus B plus or minus the square root of B squared minus 4AC all over 2A. Like, I can picture that. I can see that. I wouldn't mind a tattoo of that because it feels like it belongs to me. Like, I hate math. Like, and I don't like using that word. I just can't do it. My brain doesn't do math easily.
So was there a song from your youth that you can think of, a silly song in school that you learned?
A song?
Maybe a teacher that...
Spanish class.
Okay, there you go.
Señora Lalonde. I'm not singing anything, but I remember them all. Like,
And it taught you Spanish.
Yes, yes. Okay, and every little trick, like there was this saying, like there was this particular set of verbs that are done a little differently when you're conjugating them and changing them for tense. And like, how do you remember what that list of verbs is? Well, it turns out if you arrange them in the right order, it sounds like you're talking about Vin Diesel and his gun collection. Like, it's the silliest thing ever, but it works so well. And I mean, it just, yeah, I don't know why. Everything, Senora, it all worked. It was so awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I wish I'd taken number three.
It's just making it fun and putting it to song in it, right? And I had a teacher also in the elementary. To this day, I can't figure out why. I think he did it just as a mental break during the day. By the way, birthday wishes to Larry Hinton today. Before I forget, sorry about that. So Cindy and the family want to wish Larry a very happy birthday. So I had one. Uh-oh.
Does Rachel have input on this.
I want to hear this.
She handed me something that feels like it rings a bell. Is this a song? Okay. So Rachel handed me a piece of paper that it feels like it's kind of unlocking a memory. I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor.
Okay. I want to hear this. Like, so this is like grade school or what?
Yeah, elementary,
okay,
for sure.
All right. Can we hear it?
Yeah, a little bit. The part I remember is like, I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor. Boa constrictor. Boa constrictor. I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor. And then something. I don't remember the rest. But
what was it for?
It was like a heads and shoulders, arms and tail type. Arms and toes type thing.
Oh, like an exercise thing? Like head, shoulders, knees and toes, and toes? Like that? Okay.
I'm about to Google some really weird stuff. I'm being swallowed.
See, I had a teacher who taught us the Old Lady Leary song. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, about the Chicago Fire. And I'll sing that for you in just a moment. So Gray is being intrigued by this being swallowed by a boa constrictor song.
So it's originally written by Shel Silverstein, and even Johnny Cash has covered it. But and I don't like it very much. Oh no, he's got my toe.
So there's movements with it. It's like hokey pokey type thing where you're moving,
something like
you're
that.
Shaking your toe, and you don't want to be swallowed by the boa constrictor.
It's seen as a kid's song. The Chenille Sisters did it back in the 90s, and apparently a lot of people do it. And I'm in this weird world where people just sing this song, I guess, and I didn't know it until today.
This is news to me, but I like it.
I entered a new dimension this morning, in this weird boa constrictor dimension, where Berenstain Bears. It's S-T-A-I-N.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I had a sixth grade teacher who taught us the Old Lady Leary song, and I think he did it just to kind of break the mental part of the day, just a break, and I remember it very clearly. And when we learned it, it was one dark night when we were all in bed, Old Lady Leary lit a lantern in her shed, and when the cow kicked it over, she winked her eye and said, there'll be a hot time in the old town tonight. Fire, fire, fire. That's the old Chicago Fire.
That's not a normal thing for kids to
say. So we learned it frontwards. And then when we all learned it frontwards, he said, now we're going to learn it backwards.
Like, flop the words around?
Night, dark, one, in bed, all were we. Leery old lady, lantern lit, shed she. And when the kick cowed it over, she eyed her wink and said, there'll be a time hot and a time old tonight. Earth, earth, earth. And I remember it to this day when I was 12 years old.
I like... I want to react so strongly, but I've got black socks stuck in my head. Black socks, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get. Sometimes I think I should wash them, but something inside me keeps saying, not yet. Or Alvin the Alligator. Did you ever do Alvin?
No.
Did you ever go down to the water spout, way down to the bottom of the water system? There did you find a little alligator who goes by the name of Alvin. If you did, he's mine. I lost him, and then you got to do this big old sniff like you're sad. I threw him down the water spout, and now I'm really lonely because he's gone. I miss him. And, like, I remember because, like, the gusto that I would put into those sniffs.
Is that Schoolhouse Rock thing? Or
no, that is Miss Hyde. That is Miss Hyde. Yes, currently at the library, she was our music teacher, and we played so much bingo and sang about Alvin and
socks. If you think hard enough and talk long enough about it, they'll start to resurface back in your memory. Because that's what makes good teachers and great education are just little things like that they made it fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like that, if for no other reason than I remember it and then it was fun, that's a fantastic memory to carry with me. But I also have all the names of those stinking composers in the watercolor paintings that were arranged around the room. I know them all. You show me a picture of Bach, I'll know it's Bach. I got you. Don't need that.
Yeah, but my wife got to be a librarian there for many years. I got to look at those many times.
I almost bought them. You can go online and find them. I had to Google composer watercolor paintings, and there's one very particular set that comes in two different like volumes or editions that are slightly older ones and slightly more modern, and I wanted them all, and it's like $200. I thought, I don't want them that bad.
And did you learn the Sound of Music, the Do-Re-Mi Fa-Sol-La-Ti-Do song?
No. And like kids who got, and if you can't tell, I was a St. A's kid. I'm sure most people probably can. But like the public school kids learned a slightly different system of identifying notes. And they used those words, which we didn't use, and they used hand signals too. It was a little bit more involved, which I'm not saying that I feel like I'm lacking in it, but like I am curious about it. When I see kids do hand signals for particular notes, it's like, hey, maybe I would have gotten music better, because I don't. Like, I can play a trombone, but it's been forced into my head by very, very effective teachers, not because I'm good at it.
Maybe it's just my personality, but I was a type of personality as a kid where when I heard a song on the radio, I wanted to know every word in the song, and I would listen. As I listened to the song, I would start writing down as many words as I could until I was able to buy the record. And then when I bought the record, I would actually take every word and I would write it down in a notebook, every single word to the song. And I wasn't really a singer, but I remember, I don't know if I should admit this.
You can't backpedal now.
The Rick Dees and his Cast of Idiots song, the duck song that he did. Way back when. You've heard that.
I probably have, but I don't know it offhand. Yeah. And there's a subset of people chortling at
Disco
the radio
Duck.
Right now.
Disco Duck, it was called, by Rick Dees and the Cast of Idiots.
Google that offhand.
And I don't know why I like novelty songs, but I love that song.
You don't have to explain why.
It's a horrible song.
You don't have to explain why you like any given thing, especially if it's comedy.
And one of the theme song we play for reality radio, Shut Up Your Face. I had that 45 as a kid, and that's why I started playing it on reality radio. There was just something different. The novelty part of it, that I just really enjoyed the Ray Stevens and those guys, who just Weird Al Yankovics, who just did different. It was just different than the mainstream rock and roll.
Randy Newman.
Short People was such an offensive song.
It is. That is.
Short people got no reason to live.
They got little hands
and little eyes.
Little eyes, and they walk around telling great big lies.
It's such an offensive song.
Don't need no short people. Like, what? Randy, that's my family.
How did he not get blacklisted from every place after that song? But he continued to do song. He did Toy Story.
Yeah.
He did the Toy Story theme songs, and he was very well known for doing all the themes, a lot of theme songs.
You got a friend in me.
Yeah, the same guy who sang the song, You've Got a Friend in Me, declared that there's no place for short people
don't
in the world.
No short people.
People around
and
here.
And if you weren't sure he said it, he says it 13 more times right in a row.
Oh, yeah, the things we have. It's a good... It's a good discussion. You're traveling for the holidays to grandma's house. It's a good discussion point to have with your significant other. It starts a conversation that I guarantee you will probably bleed over into your trip home too when you come back.
I'm struck by a thought, Joel.
Okay, what's
you
that?
You have a piece of intro music for this gray area hour.
Yeah.
We don't have outro music.
Yeah.
Should we fade out with short people every time?
every time.
I mean, like. Horrifying lyrics aside, it's the perfect kind of music to just fade out as the show ends, and then into the top of the hour news with our ABC affiliate.
We might play a little bit of it at the end of this show. All right, we may,
just as a treat.
So a final thought on this edition of the Gray Area is every time I go, my son and I spent the weekend in Wisconsin Dells. There was a big bags tournament. Over it was like 1,000 people, 400 teams from all over the country. It was pretty cool. But we were at a casino, and every time we're at a casino and we walk through the casino. You know, my son and I gamble a little bit. My son, not much at all. But he always makes a comment. He always just walks through and looks around and just says, yep. And the kids are playing those dang video games. But look what the adults are doing. And I thought to myself, why haven't we found the ability to combine video game gambling at casinos, roulette machines, and video games? You have a lot of people who go to casinos and they mindlessly press the button on the roulette machine. They just hit the button, they hit the button, they hit the button. And then they go home and the doctor says, do an hour of Sudoku or whatever. Do a crossword puzzle. Keep your brain going. Why can't we combine those? Why do we have to sit at a video game machine in a casino and just mindlessly hit a button? Why can't we make it some kind of a video game challenge and combine the two?
You know what I'm hearing? I hear what you're saying, but it's like you're basically in a very strong German accent asking why spiders don't have wings. And it's like, Joel, we're going to have to shut you off for a second here. Like you're combining things that you're thinking about whether you can, not whether you should.
Okay, it's the same, and I know there's a process of every time you hit the button, that's a buck. You know, that's the money thing. I get it. But you think, you know, kind of like opening up the case on the video game show, whatever that was, where you got to open the case, something like that. There has to be
a
way.
Deal or no deal.
There has to be a way we combine just a little bit of a thought process, because my son said, we're just sitting here and we're just hitting a button and we're just waiting to see if we win any money. That's basically what we're doing.
Yeah, really. I mean, it is. It is. It's exactly that. And I think they probably are kind of tickling the same desire, if you will. It's a very reduced, immediate form of it. And I think it needs to be that. I think the real answer is that it puts too many walls between you and the money you think you're going to win.
Yeah, it's true.
That's probably it. I'm not going to play that game if there's a win button over there.
And you have, and I told this to my son too. I said part of the joy of gambling is the anticipation. The joy of Christmas is the anticipation. Once it happens, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, even if you win $100, you're like, you only won $100. Well, the anticipation is the best part. Every time you hit that button, there's like 3 seconds of ching, ching, ching. Do I win? It's that constant anticipation of something good could really happen.
And it's completely instant, too, which we want way more than we need. Instant gratification. Casinos are, it's like the church of instant gratification.
How could we combine Minecraft and gambling on a Tuesday afternoon at the local casino? How can we bring those two together?
That's how this is. Okay, so that's the first question that starts the snowball that becomes a 5-year evolution into financial fraud and gambling schemes, and like some Twitch streamer is going to be exposed. Like, you're going to end up in prison over this question one day, I swear. Like, how can we bet on Minecraft?
So kind of like what sports is becoming now, you're saying.
There's going to, yes, absolutely. I didn't want to soapbox it, Joel, but did you see those two, a couple baseball players now were rigging pitches, apparently?
I did see that, yeah. Couple of Cleveland Guardians, yeah.
Nothing good comes from mingling sports and betting. And I don't like regulating people. I don't like telling people, hey, you can't do this, you can't own this, you can't consume this, and we're not going to get into those conversations. But just in general, I don't like limiting people. However, we've proven that we can't handle sports betting. We've done it before. And you know what? Oh, what a perfect outro song.
We don't We don't endorse this song or anything he says, but here you go. If you've never heard it, this has been The Gray Area.
Anything said or sung on The Gray Area is not the official opinion of 98Q Country, Civic Media, or any of its affiliates. Have a great week.
Get away with it.
I have no idea. It's because it's so catchy. Like, nowadays you can put garbage in a catchy package. Back then you could just put offensiveness in a catchy package.
Tree work, trust the pros at Northwood Specialty Service. Your local tree experts, fully insured and ready to do any job, big or small. As complex rigging specialists, they handle every cut with precision, extreme care for your landscape. Zero ground impact, they won't even harm a flower. Environmentally conscious and deeply knowledgeable, Northwood Specialty Services makes the best decisions for your trees and your property. Call 715-661-0412 or find Northwood Specialty Service on Facebook today.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate voting last night 60-40 to begin debate on a bill that would end the government shutdown. Eight Democrats sided with Republicans, angering many of those Democrats who say they got nothing in return.
As part of the deal, sources say Democrats were able to secure a vote on health care subsidies in the coming weeks, but there's no guarantee Republicans will support it. The agreement also reverses mass firings of federal workers laid off during the shutdown, guaranteeing back pay as required by law for hundreds of thousands of others who were furloughed, and includes months